So that time of the week where we take a look at what's happening in football over on the other side of the Atlantic. MLS Monday is back, although at the moment, because of the state of the playoffs, Major League Soccer is respecting the international break, but there's still plenty of stuff to talk about as we're joined by the MLS and US soccer journalist Drew Farmer. Drew, welcome to the show.
Hey, Andy. It's great to be back. And as you said, MLS taking a little bit of time off and respecting the international calendar, but still plenty going on overseas.
Well, just quickly look then at the international stuff and the US men's national team taking on Mexico at the end of last week. A lot of people very hopeful from the US point of view, but in the end it wasn't to be.
No, it wasn't. Mexico just ended up edging it out in the end with Rafa Marquez getting a header there near the death of the game, and really, really big game. Between the two sides, obviously, World Cup qualifier, but, you know, it also kind of came on the heels of the U.S. election with Donald Trump getting voted in. So, you know, a lot of Mexican-Americans would have been turning out for that game and things. So, you know, I think with Trump coming into office, it's kind of turned that up a notch, that rivalry between the two.
Yeah, certainly all this talk of walls and things, yeah, it's going to maybe make that rivalry even stronger. But looking at the next game for the US, taking on Costa Rica, and it looks as though they're going to have to do it without a well-known name from the Premier League.
And I'm assuming you're meaning Tim Howard. In that,
I am, cause, yeah.
Yes, because Tim Howard is going to be out for just a little bit of time with an abductor injury. Now, it wasn't seen to be too serious at first, but it does look like right now, after being reassessed over the weekend, that he could miss out on the not only the upcoming Costa Rica game, but the upcoming MLS playoff game. And if the Colorado Rapids are without him coming up in the conference finals, going on to the MLS Cup, I mean, that's a massive loss for Colorado Rapids going forward.
What about that game against Costa Rica? Because from over here, I keep hearing how Jurgen Klinsmann, who I feel seems to have done a decent job, it's almost like it stalled a bit under him. I mean, when he first came in, he was bringing in German players of American descent, some of whom people thought were never going to play for the USA. They were always too good, if you will. Has it kind of stagnated, though, by now under Klinsmann?
I think it has stagnated under Klinsmann. I don't really see a lot of improvement overall with the U.S. men's national team. I think that there's a lot of, not a lot of good players coming through right now with MLS as well. I think that they're kind of hitting a peak at the moment. And under Klinsmann, I just think that, you know, you're going to get to the World Cup as the USA has done over the last few years. You're going to do well in the continental competitions or the confederation competitions. But, you know, you're not going to really go too far in the World Cup once you get there, World Cup finals, that is. And I don't know if that's necessary. You know, I do think some of it is down to Klinsmann and the way that the U.S. is playing. But I also think it has a lot to do with the development of some of the players coming through as well. There are some exciting players coming through, such as Jordan Morris, who won Rookie of the Year this last week with MLS or in the MLS with Seattle Sounders. So there are some good players coming through, but it's not enough at the moment, and once they get to that senior side, I don't think that Klinsmann really, really has it to get the U.S. to that next level.
So if somebody were to come in and replace Klinsmann, you think it's deeper than that? It's not just about one man, this?
I think it's been quite a while that people have been talking about someone coming in to replace Klinsmann. And I would be all for that. I think there's some really good coaches right now in Major League Soccer that could really have a go at the team. One is Kansas City's Peter Vermes, who I think is a really good has been really good and has a really good track record in Major League Soccer with developing young players. So I think that there is a good chance that we could see a new coach in the next few years. But I wouldn't be surprised if Klinsmann does get this cycle under his belt before he goes.
One name who could be back with the USA, looking at some of the betting odds, certainly from last week, could be Bob Bradley. I mean, only recently installed at Swansea, and I think it was Thursday, Friday, I was seeing that one of the bookies had him as Steve McLaren was next in line to go, as they saw it, but then, sorry, not Steve McLaren, Sunderland, David Moyes. But then next after that was Bob Bradley.
Well, yeah, Bob Bradley, 4 games in charge of Swansea, 3 losses, 1 draw. So it's not been going too well for him. But, you know, when he did come in, we did kind of talk about how he got into this job possibly because of the American owners there at Swansea. So, you know, he's had a good track record at some places, but, yeah, you know, the Premier League is just that next level. And even though he's got the bravado, if you will, Bob Bradley's just not able to really show it with that squad right now at Swansea.
What happens to soccer in America if Bob Bradley, who's come in as the first US coach to the Premier League, a league which American soccer fans love, they watch on TV, what happens if Bob Bradley comes in, gets a month, 2 months maybe at Swansea, and then he goes, he leaves? Does soccer as a sport then take a huge hit, bearing in mind the time of year that we're at in America? If that were to happen in the time frame I've said, it would be the off-season. Does soccer then really have a bit of an issue image-wise in the States if that kind of thing happens?
I think that's a fantastic question, Andy, and I really don't have an answer to that. But I do think a lot of the naysayers would come out of the woodwork and talk about how American coaches and players can't make it at that top level if Bob Bradley does, in the end, become unsuccessful with Swansea and is sacked in the near future. I think that there's a good chance also that there's plenty of Major League Soccer fans who would, you know, see him get sacked there at Swansea, come back to the U.S. and just be like, well, yeah, it's obviously a step above, and it is a very difficult thing to do. You know, plenty of coaches have failed at this level in the Premier League. So I think that, you know, it could go either way. There'll be the naysayers, and there'll also be the players or the people that understand that, yeah, it is a very difficult place to make it.
We've spoken a lot about the caliber of player that's heading to Major League Soccer and how in recent weeks, months, year or two, it's not been of that David Beckham level, the quality level, and no offence to the likes of Ken Win-Jones, who are about to start playing for Atlanta, but do you know what I mean? The calibre of world star has gone down slightly. However, I've seen a rumour in the last day or two that Bastian Schweinsteiger of Man United and formerly Bayern Munich talk that teams are looking at him in the States. That doesn't surprise me. However, the one that's been named or that I've seen, Chicago Fire, that does, because if you're Bastian Schweinsteiger, do you really want to go and fight at one of the, I don't want to say worst teams in MLS at the moment, but certainly not one of the highlights?
No, not one of the highlights at all. And Schweinsteiger has been talking with him. He's also met with team directors and members of the team there. And so I'd say talks are quite at an advanced stage at the moment. And there's a good chance that he'll be coming in January as he is surplus to requirements at Man United. So, you know, why he would come to Chicago Fire right now, I really don't know. But the only thing that I could think is that the Fire are looking for some name value. He's got plenty of name value still, especially for fans in the USA. As well as, you know, bringing a player like that in, they do have holes in that side. You know, some of the higher echelon teams in MLS, they don't have holes that they want to just give designated player salary to Bastian Schweinsteiger to come in and, you know, end up sitting on the bench. But Chicago Fire might be able to use him as best they can. They have plenty of holes in that side, and, you know, finishing last in the East, you know, they could do much worse than Bastian Schweinsteiger, I guess, even if he is 32 and injury-prone.
And to just mention some soccer that happened this weekend in America that didn't hold off because of the international break, this being outside of Major League Soccer itself, and we mentioned last week how New York soccer, it's been a bit of a tough time in 2016. However, I can hear fans of New York Cosmos who are listening to this MLS Monday in kind of the podcast form screaming, hang on, we've had a good season, and they took it to the very wire this weekend, but they have ultimately crowned off or capped off that good season.
Yeah, that's right. So there is one soccer champion this year coming from New York City, and that is the New York Cosmos, who won the NASL championship game last night 4-2 on penalties over Indy 11. And after 120 minutes of, you know, not the greatest football in the world, they ended up pulling that out. And, you know, we did talk about the NASL. This is kind of something that we do enjoy talking about, the NASL here on MLS Monday. And the NASL is, wow, you know, where to start with them? It's a league that's existing right now, but who knows what it's going to be like next year. Of course, New York Cosmos are the main team there. They've won three of the last four NASL, sorry, two of the last three NASL titles, that is. And, you know, they're really keeping this league afloat in a way. The NASL are about to lose one of their best teams, and that's Minnesota United, who will be going to MLS next season. Minnesota United had the best attendance of the season, best average attendance, that is, of the season in NASL, and it's really a shame that they're going to be losing them, because as you look at the average attendance for this year, the league's not drawn too well. You know, some of these teams are having trouble getting 4,000 people into the stands, or four digits worth of attendees into games. And, you know, it's quite sad to look at Fort Lauderdale Strikers, who are very much struggling right now under financial problems. And, you know, one game this year, they only drew just over 400 people to a game. So the NASL has got a lot to get in order over the off season, but at least right now the New York Cosmos are riding high with their second consecutive NASL title.
And there've been some big name players. I mean, again, his name escapes me, but a player who's now back playing for Glasgow Rangers, Croatian player who was playing at New York Cosmos. There's other players as well who've played in MLS who are there, like Danny Jatella, people like that. So it's. It is like the Championship very much to the Premier League here, which obviously the Championship is MLS. You've got then that. Is it a direct sort of comparison, even though there's no promotional relegation, or does it have much more of a non-league kind of feel to it, this level of soccer?
In a way, you know, to me it's more like I don't even know if I could say League One, League Two. Maybe you could even say non-league, as you were saying. Just the way things are kind of built with this. And you've got other NASL teams who are, right now considering leaving the league and joining the United Soccer League, which is currently the third tier of MLS soccer, the U.S. soccer, but they do have a very good relationship with Major League Soccer, so that could help them in the long run make that move to the top flight, obviously because we don't have promotion and relegation in the U.S. It's all about, you know, wooing the right people. Teams such as Tampa Bay Rowdies and the previously mentioned Indy 11 are teams that are interested in trying to make those moves. Indy 11 has a fantastic regional base in which they can have some natural rivalries with Chicago or Columbus, as well as they don't have too many professional sports teams there. But, you know, the NASL has set themselves up to fail in a way, because if you look at the 11 teams currently in the league, four are in Florida, which is ridiculous because the amount of soccer currently going on in Florida, as well as the other sports leagues and teams that go on in Florida. It's such a saturated market that, you know, you're setting yourself up to fail, especially if you have one, you know, bad stretch. So the NASL's got a lot to get in order. As I said, during this offseason, they do have one new team coming in, and that's the San Francisco Delta. But, you know, the lights aren't as bright when you get outside of MLS in a way, when you're looking down the leagues in U.S. and Canadian soccer.
Just to go on a point there that you mentioned, what is it about, and again, as I ask this as a Brit trying to find out about America, what is it about Florida itself that seems to attract so many sporting franchises? I mean, I love the NFL, and straight away there's Miami, there's Tampa Bay, there's Jacksonville. If you then go to the college level, you've got Florida Gators, you've got Miami Hurricanes, you've got the Seminoles. I mean, you can keep just going with those. I mean, what is it about the state of Florida and sports? Are they that sport crazy there, or is it just that owners like to spend their time on the beach when they're not at the stadium? I mean, what is it?
I think part of it is the great weather, for one. But, you know, I also think that there are a lot of people who end up moving to Florida from other states, other countries, because of the weather, because of, I believe, there's some financial reasons tax-wise to move to Florida. So I think maybe that's one reason why it's so interesting for people to go there. But again, as you're saying, there are so many teams right now there, whether it's NHL, whether it's NBA, Major League Baseball, professional or you know, semi-professional soccer. Even the WWE has the Performance Center where they develop new professional wrestlers there. So, you know, there's so much going on in Florida that you would think that someone would decide, right, yeah, we might want to put a team somewhere else, but it doesn't look that way at the moment.
And just a reminder that the US men's national team take on Costa Rica this week. And then I am right, Drew, in saying that in MLS, the conference finals, they don't start this weekend. They start middle of next week. That's right, isn't it?
That's right. So on it's going to be the 23rd of November, our time here in the UK. Unfortunately, kickoff at 1 a.m. Montreal and Toronto, 3 a.m. Seattle and Colorado Rapids. So unless you're a hardcore MLS fan or you're up all night, you know, hopefully you'll be catching the highlights the next day. But, you know, unfortunately, I'm not really sure why, other than the international break, they're playing these midweek fixtures. But, you know, I guess you got to get it in when you can get it in.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's soccer for the insomniacs, as far as we're concerned over here in the UK. Drew Farmer, as always, brilliant to get you on for MLS Monday. Thank you very much for joining me.
Yeah, always great to be back and, you know, talking about things outside of MLS for a bit.